But special thanks, more than 170 people from this community of faith volunteered their time, their energy, and their talent. More than 170 of you, whether you were a cast member or whether you worked behind the scenes to help promote it or to help construct or even more importantly to help clean up the construction. And I promised last week that we're going to be finding little pieces of straw and hay for weeks and weeks, and it continues to ring true. And so Journey to Bethlehem, that was our 10th one, something we do every 3 years. And so we came up with the very original title for this Advent sermon series, Journey to Bethlehem. But I encouraged us to not think of Bethlehem as a place 5 miles south of Jerusalem. To not think of Bethlehem as a place that in the years 4 to 6 BC, which was when this census was taking place that brought Mary and Joseph down to Bethlehem. To not think of it as that place that had about 300, 500, 700, 800 people. To not think of it as a place that today has more than 25,000 residents, that's a part of the Jerusalem metro area, more than 1.2 million people. It was my prayer, it's the challenge that we've given to us to think of Bethlehem as a spiritual place. Bethlehem as a place where we are with God, where we have intimate communion with our God. When we say we are in Bethlehem, it means that I am walking with this Christ child who grew up and lived a perfect life, that we may follow it, that we may do that. Ann Weems has said this, because you see, we are Bethlehem bound. We are all on this journey. And she says this, in each heart there lies a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in Bethlehem for you to be in communion with our God? If so, we have heard the blessings, and each week we have been counting it down, the blessing of hope. God's promises are the source of our hope, and I said it's an extravagant hope, meaning it exceeds our expectations. The blessing of Jesus, who came to show us the way to live this perfect life, and people like John the Baptist, that their whole role was to help people see this way was coming. Just last week, this hope, this promise that comes with peace, a peace that no matter what's happening in the world around us, something about this relationship, something about Bethlehem, gets us to the place where we can say, it is well with my soul, but today it's joy. So what brings you joy? Packer victories? Long ago, I made this pact with myself that I would remind myself often that my personal happiness does not depend on the outcome of a sporting event. And I have to keep telling myself that because I get so wound up, so angry. I mean, how irrational is it to yell at your TV? What brings you joy? Fresh hot pizza? Your favorite cut of meat prepared just the way you want it? For me, it's kind of Christmas shows. Christmas shows. For those of us that have had children that went through the elementary schools, you know, we have these Christmas programs, and they're really terrible until your child's the one who's up there. But I wasn't necessarily being completely honest. I really do love those. We're so blessed here to have three different schools within our building, and downstairs is the carpenter shop. That's where infants all the way up to just before they go off to kindergarten, they can come. And this week was their Christmas program, and all the kids were done up. They had their Christmas dresses on, their Christmas suits, and moms and dads and aunts and uncles and neighbors and bigger siblings and grandma and grandpas and great-grandparents were all there, and it began with a parade of the infants. Yes, even the infants were a part of it. They were wheeled right in and then wheeled right out, right? Just, woo, there's the babies. And it got all the way up to the oldest group. And the oldest group got there, and they had stuff that they could shake, not unlike what our people had here. And they sang a song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in, thank you for asking. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very, there were no jazz hands, but there should have been, no choreography. That brings joy to my heart to see children singing those songs. Are you filled with joy right now? Do you understand that you can find joy in surprising places? even dirty and filthy places like a manger? Are we filled with joy? And if so, are we extending it to others? Truth be told, some of us in this season are in way too much of a hurry. We have way too many things to do to really be defined by joy. Just as a show of hands, how many of you are hosting in your homes this year? Are you ready? Are you ready for it? I heard a story of a woman. It was her first year that she was going to be hosting. More than 40 people were coming to her house, and she was not happy. She was not filled with joy. There were so many things to do, so many things to buy, so much stuff she needed to clean up, and she wondered, I wonder where all these people are going to congregate. Where are they going to hang out? And of course, we know they're going to hang out where? In the kitchen. That's right. And so she was doing everything, and she was a Christmas card sender, and she got through her list, and some of these people she's sending cards to, that's the only time they correspond at all, is the exchange of Christmas cards, and she was 19 cards short. Ugh! So she had to run in a very hurried fashion to the card store, and instead of looking at them, she just went to a box that said 20 cards. She grabbed the 20 cards. She had already printed out the labels. She just slapped the address labels on them, just opened up the card enough to sign it, and then put them in the mail. Ah, she's done. Well, it came Christmas Eve morning, just about 4 or 5 hours before everyone was going to start to descend upon her house, and she was doing the last-minute cleaning up, and there was that box with one card left. And she said, well, I might as well take a look at what this card actually said. And here's what the card said. This card is just to say a special gift is on its way. Oh, no! And so then she had to rush back out, and she found herself going all around town trying to buy 19 unexpected gifts that she was going to purchase, and she was not making a joyful noise. Matter of fact, very few of the words that she were using had more than one syllable, most of them just about 4 letters long, and she was just not happy. Are you too busy in this season to truly dwell in Bethlehem, to experience the hope, the way that it provides, the peace and the joy that comes with it? There's just a few days left in this Advent season, and we need to use them remembering the source of all that we celebrate. I love this time of year. You know, some preachers only preach from the Gospels. That's it. It's not a sermon unless it's preached from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And what I like about this time of year is that we get to hear the voices of the Old Testament. We get to hear the prophets. And a prophet was a mouthpiece for God. That's how God spoke to God's people, through these prophets. And I believe that the Old Testament contains just about everything that we need, really, to understand what God's plan for the world was. And so we're going to hear from Isaiah chapter 12, just a few verses, starting with verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And we have one more passage, just a few verses written to a Christian community in a place called Philippi. And actually, last week when we lit the peace candle, I actually spoke verse 7. But let's hear what this has to say. Chapter 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I've read these passages throughout the week, this week. And when I read these passages, I'm just drawn to the truth that these passages don't just describe joy. These passages produce joy. I mean, did we hear what was read? The Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, I will draw water from the wells of salvation. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The Lord is near. That is the source of our joy. He is the source of our joy, and it is a true joy. Our joy is not dependent upon what's happening at our workplace, about what's happening politically in our country, about what's happening within our own families. No, that's not the source of our joy. Our joy does not depend on gifts that we give or gifts that are under the tree, because there is no earthly thing that can ever truly be the source of true joy. Our joy comes from Bethlehem, that spiritual place where we are in an intimate relationship with our God. It is that joy of Bethlehem that can flood the hearts. It flooded the hearts of the shepherds. It flooded the hearts of the angels, of the heavenly chorus. It flooded the hearts of Mary and Joseph, the Magi. It floods your heart and my heart with rejoicing as well. Emmanuel, God is with us, is the source of our true joy, great joy. Not our jobs, not our families, not our relationships, not our finances or success. Nothing on earth. Our joy is a gift. And it was wrapped in the form of an infant so long ago. Our joy is encompassed in a Savior. And so this great joy, there's three things I want to convey to you about this great, great joy. And the first thing that we see about this great joy when we reflect upon the Christmas story is that it is for everyone. Not just the Magi or the kings, not just the wealthy, for everyone, even the shepherds who were deemed to be dirty, who were deemed to be unclean, who were the dregs of society. They weren't allowed in the proper places. Their voice was not even deemed to be authoritative enough or carry enough weight to be spoken in court. They're the first ones that experience Bethlehem, joy in their hearts. They were blessed. And everyone in the world has been blessed through the coming of Jesus. Blessed by the prophecies of the Old Testament being fulfilled. And as they gazed upon the face of this little child, they saw joy. They felt joy. They saw the King, a different kind of King. And that is the same joy that is extended to everyone, even to this day. And maybe you're in this sanctuary right now and you're fidgeting because you're uncomfortable, because you don't see yourself as a church person. Maybe some of you struggle even to see that you're a person of worth. But friends, in God's eyes, you are filled with worth, so much so that God took this flesh through Emmanuel. Great joy for all people. But the second thing about this great joy is that we are called to participate in the celebration. It's not just for other people. It's not just for the good people. It is for everyone. And we are to participate in the celebration. What do we sing at the very end of Christmas Eve services when all the candles are lit? Joy to the world. Spoiler alert, that's what's going to happen. Joy to the world. This is great joy for everyone. And so we need to approach the birth of our Lord with this phrase that I heard this week, and I have fallen in love with it. We are to worship with joyful abandon. We've heard the phrase careless abandon, right? Joyful abandon. What a powerful phrase. And the refrain is, do not fear. And so we participate. Mary participated by singing. John the Baptist, still in utero, leapt for joy. The shepherds came and worshiped. The wise men came with their gifts, but they worshiped. They worshiped. What about you? Do you worship the source of joy? But our participation in the celebration brings with it some obligations, especially for those of us that have or had children in the house. You see, it's our obligation, despite what society is telling us, our increasingly secular society, we need to keep the Christ child at the center of our Christmas celebration. That's what Christmas is all about, the birth of Emmanuel. It's about Bethlehem. Now, I remember when my kids were little. And actually, you want a little bonus, like 2 minutes of bonus sermon right here? Last night, my grown children came, and I think it's the only time in this celebration of Christmas that all of us are going to actually be together at the same time because of the different schedules. They came with their boyfriends, their significant others, and it was just the six of us. It was wonderful. And the girls were together, and they started telling stories about their childhood. Don't you love it, parents, when all of a sudden your child says something that you had no idea was going on back then? But evidently, I was at some kind of church meeting, and the girls were upset when they were young with Janet. Just by a show of hands, how many of you celebrate St. Nick's Day in your house or did with your kids? The household that I grew up in did not do that. The house that Janet grew up in did not do that, which meant we had no experience with it, which meant our kids were not going to have this experience. And our girls were a little upset that on the 6th of December, all their classmates came with these new things that St. Nick had brought them the night before. And so I guess they waged a complaint to Janet to say, you know, what's up with this? But, okay, the free part's done. Now back to what I wanted to say. When Abby was in first or second grade, I forget which grade she was in, you know, they had the school Christmas show. And our girls went to public school, which meant you can sing a Christian Christmas carol in the program as long as you're singing other kinds of music as well. And so, you know, they sang dreidel, 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 and they sang stuff from African descent. I mean, it was wonderful programs. But while we were coming home, my daughter, Abigail, the oldest, thought she should speak on behalf of the whole family. So she made a decree. Never forget this. She decreed, next year the Hadleys are going to celebrate Hanukkah. Okay, right, so non-anxious presence, right? We just talk. Well, why is that, Abigail? Why do you want to celebrate Hanukkah? And she said, because my Jewish friends, they get 8 days of gifts in a row. So next year we're going to do that. An obligation as a parent to help our children, to help those who don't know what the true source of the Christmas season is all about, and it is the Christ who brings us joy. There is great joy in participating in the celebration, which brings us to the last thing I want to get to. There is great joy in sharing the joy, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see, the Christmas story lets us know that the shepherds didn't just come and see and go, okay, great, now we're gone. When they left, they went back singing. They actually went back as evangelists for what they had just experienced in the presence of true joy. They shared the joy. I read a book of poetry this week by an author named Ann Weems, and I had to read some of Ann Weems' writings while I was in seminary. She, along with another faculty member at my seminary, co-edited the women's Bible commentary together. But this book called Kneeling in Bethlehem was published in 1987. And in that book, she has a poem called Later. And I'd like to read it to you now. She writes, later, after the angels, after the stable, after the child, they went back, as we always must. Back to the world that doesn't understand our talk of angels and stars, and especially not the child. We go back complaining that it doesn't last. They went back singing praises to God. We do have to go back, but we can still sing the Alleluias. Still sing the Alleluias. Focus on this joy, this incredible news. I love this season. You know, every day that I drove into work traveling east on Silver Spring, the west side of the sign at Dominican High School had this on there, focus on the good and the joy will follow. Joy is what God intends for us. We are called to share that joy. You want a more joyous workplace? Bring the joy with you. You want to have a more joy-filled marriage? Be a joy-filled spouse. The joy that we bring, the joy that we give is going to be reflected back to us in surprising ways. Surprising ways. And so I want to share one last story. Story of a young pastor who was serving kind of an urban church that 100 years before had been, you know, the church to go to, just a giant church, and it was kind of just a shell of what it used to be, still a good attendance. And this pastor only had two services on Christmas Eve, one during the daylight so that the elderly congregation that no longer lived in the city but drove in, they could worship and get back before dark, and then the 11 o'clock service that would end at midnight with the lighting of the Christ candle and the singing of? You're paying attention. Good, I still got you. Well, this pastor was single, and he had no family that was going to be with him, and God laid it on his heart that in between the midday service and the formal candlelight service at 11 o'clock at night, he was to do something. And so he made some hot cider, big, huge batch of hot cider, and he made some fresh sandwiches that were healthy, and he lured them in his car, and he drove into the city. He wanted to give to the homeless men and women of the city something warm and something nutritious, and he made his first stop. He saw a group of homeless people, and he went over, and he was serving the cider and the sandwiches, and when he came back to his car had been broken into. And there was a young man, really still just a boy, who was almost all the way in the car, rifling through the glove box, rifling through the center console, trying to find money, trying to find anything. And the pastor saw this, and the young man, the boy, didn't see him. And so the pastor said, "Hey!" Which scared the young man. He actually sat down in the car, but his legs were still out. The pastor said, "Swing your legs in." And the boy was filled with fear, had no idea what was going to go on, but was so startled, did that, and the pastor shut the door, went around to the driver's side, and said, "I'm delivering hot cider and warm sandwiches to the homeless that I can find in the city right now, and you're going to help me." Now, this was a huge God thing. You see, that young man, probably still just a teenager, he had lived on the streets, still occasionally had to spend nights there. And so he knew all of the places that provided shelter. He knew which grates that were over the subway provided heat that was coming up to keep people warm at night. And they did it together. And with each delivery, with each cup of hot cider, with each nutritious sandwich, the pastor noticed that this young man's face was getting brighter, his demeanor was getting lighter. He came to realize that it was in sharing the joy with others that joy was being reflected back. Are we people, friends, who reflect the joy to others? Because I promise you, not always, but I promise you, if we are, it will come back to us in ways that are surprising. Yes, I know that life is still unfair, at times cruel. Yes, I know young people pass away. People that we trust lie to us and disappoint us. Companies downsize and tell us that we're no longer essential. As the psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the source of our joy, true joy, is Emmanuel, God with us, Bethlehem." Great joy for all people. Great joy that we are called to participate in celebrating. Great joy that we are called to share. And so I want to end this sermon in a way I don't normally end a sermon. I'm going to end this sermon with a psalm. Psalm 100. A psalm of joy. And we know that these psalms were the songbook, the hymnal for God's people. And so let us do this responsively. Friends, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. There's more. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I loved the woo, joyful abandon, friends. Joy is here for all time. Amen.